one of the dams which is generating the maximum power in Kerala, that is the Idukki Hydroelectric Project, and which is also considered as the wonders of Asia, one of the wonders of Asia, because it's a flexible dam. It's an arch dam. In the technical term, it's an arch dam, and it's the Canadian architecture. But can you say there is a river? There is, once upon a time, there was a river below it. Now the river no longer flows for 20-30 kilometers. The entire water in this reservoir by standards of Brahmaputra, it is nothing. But by standards of Kerala, it's a huge reservoir. And the entire Idukki township is under this. The earlier township of the Idukki is under this. This is about 6,500 hectares. And the entire water is diverted through power, after power generation, to another river. So that river gets daily floods. But this river is something which has already 17 dams in it. And this river no longer flows. This river actually gets water from other rivers to keep it flowing. This is the largest river in Kerala called Periyar. I'm sure many of you, because of the tourism aspect, we are all familiar with Periyar. So this is the situation with those rivers, even the smallest rivers which have been dammed. And as I said earlier, in this, I'm just going through, because Indus is one of the well-recorded cases of what has happened to a river because of the regulation of flows, and because flows are not reaching the sea. Because we know Indus is about one of the largest rivers in the country, in South Asia as well as in the world, about 2,900 kilometers river. And in spite of 2,000 square kilometers of Indus Delta being a protected area, we come down to the last line, because since 1892, and coming back to the, coming down to 1990s, there has been a drastic flow reduction from 1,85,000 million cubic meter to 12,300 million cubic meter per annum in the Indus River. Mostly because of the dams, diversions, especially for irrigation that has been constructed across Indus, and because of which the which is the sixth largest delta in the world, which is suffering because of the dams and diversions. And it has been recorded that because of the reduced flows into the delta, shrimps and mangroves and fish diversity and productivity has come down. Salinization has increased. And let me tell you that 2,47,000 tons of annual fish catch was from the delta, from the Indus Delta. And now that's also coming down drastically. And salinity inclusion in the Indus is coming up. I'm sure it's more than this. Not only 64 kilometers. And just because of 64 kilometers, about 1.2 million acres of farmland has been lost. This is based on studies conducted by IUCN and the International Water Management Institute. It's based on the, on the ground studies, because we have this one of the largest river basins in India, and so what is in store for the Brahmaputra? Now, what are the implications of flow regulation? So if you look at the technical side of it, any sort of flow regulation in a river due to dams or diversions creates all these types of implications. The most important ecological implications, the least accounted in any of the in any of the regulation or any of the impact assessment studies that they are carrying out, because whole set of the aquatic biodiversity, fluoriding, degrading of habitats, and very important is that when the flows get more and more regulated, it becomes very easy for certain species to increase in number, especially exotic species. And in dam rivers, already they introduce reservoir fishes into the dam river, like the Roho Katla. And because of the change in the flow regulation, what happens is these fishes find it very easier to breed when compared to the local, like Mahasir or those other fishes which are the common food fishes. So there is a sort of competition, and the exotic and the invasive species are introduced, species increase in number because of the change in the morphology, as well as change in the ecology of the dam river. And morphological change is very important, because a river is the one which brings sand and silt and sediment, and there is a drastic decline. Most of the sand and sediment is deposited behind dams. More the number of dams, more the amount of sediment that are getting deposited. In Tehri already, there is news that within 2 or 3 years of construction of Tehri Dam is getting silted up. So for the entire Ganga, Tehri and the other dams that are being proposed are going to create problem. So the floodplains of Ganga are going to be affected in the coming 10 to 15 years. And another important aspect is the hydraulic connectivity, because we know it is the flows which connect a river laterally and horizontally. And like Professor Goswami was saying, in the high flows, even the floodplains get covered by water, but during the low flows, the connectivity is maintained through the channels, like yesterday when we were just hearing the beans and all the smaller islands which are created by larger rivers. These streams, this morphological connectivity is very important for transport of sediments as well as for nutrients as well as for fishes. So that gets affected when the flows are reduced. And social issues, you know what? Very, very important is that is a cumulative impact assessments that are carried out for many of the dam projects. The social impact assessment is always played down. Because what is the impact of these dams and regulation on the water quality? So when the quantity reduces, the quality also reduces. The pH changes, the turbidity changes, everything changes. That changes the quality of the, because you know the organisms are the ones which keep the river clean. And when the entire thing changes, the water quality also changes. So how is it affecting the water availability, drinking water availability of the people? Because we are now addressing drinking water scarcity in a different compartment from problems faced by river basins. That's a different situation. So all these, if we are connecting this to the economic losses, I'm sure we have this MBA system in our country, that is the net present value, compensatory afforestation, but all these will not be able to quantify the loss that happens because of the sediment loss or the biodiversity loss or the quantitative loss in the water that happens. And lastly, because we are India, which is not applicable to many of the Western countries, because the e-flows methodology was evolved in the Western countries, but in India and South Asia, and especially in Southeast Asia also, the spiritual and cultural needs, I'm reminded of in this context in Taiwan, a dam project was stopped for the sake of butterflies. Because the butterflies are considered sacred by the people over there, and it's an annual migration of butterflies. And for the sake of that, a dam in Taiwan was stopped. So we have cases where for the spiritual, for the cultural reasons also dams are stopped. Just a classic example in the Western Ghats again, what happened to a very famous, one of the highest rate waterfalls in the Western Ghats, it's a Joke Falls, 292-meter fall. And in 1964, a dam was at the Sharavati dam was built, I'm sorry, the Linganamakki Reservoir was built in upstream, about 15 kilometers upstream, a dam was constructed. And after that, this is what's happening to the, you can see that is the same, it is actually a very pale version of the real waterfalls. And for most of the year now, you can see Joke Falls in that situation. Unless you go to the dam authorities, ask them to open the penstock, and you pay them the money, they will release it. So that's how it works now. How many waterfalls are there in the Brahmaputra tributaries, I don't know. So you calculate how it is going to be a revenue earning for the tourism industry or for the power companies. So just look at the same Sharavati River. Just look at it. There is no river for quite some 20-30 kilometers because of the power generation, for the power generation, the power station comes somewhere downstream. And so this is very familiar to you. I'm just trying to place this in the entire context of the Northeast, looking at all the mind-boggling number of dams that are going to come up and how it's going to affect Assam. How it's going to affect the plains of the Brahmaputra. When all these dams come, look at the scenario. How much floodplain is going to get cut out? How much biodiversity is going to be affected? How much of the lateral and longitudinal connectivity is going to be lost? And what's going to happen to all these cultural needs and spiritual needs of the large tribal population living in all these? And what about the river stretches between the dams? Because, you know, hardly 2 or 3 kilometers are going to be left between any of the dams, many of the dams when they are going to be constructed. So look at the entire scenario in the Northeast, and which what we have been trying to just explain earlier against this.